Beautiful day out there. Did you have a good week? Pretty good. That's good. Just good to see everybody here today. We're going to start with 112. And let's stand, please. 112. Guess I don't need that. There's a song in the air. There's a star in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer and a baby's low cry. And the star rains its fire while beautiful sing for the manger of Bethlehem cradles a king. Verse 3 is the last. In the light of that star lie the ages in peril, and that song from afar has swept over the world. Every heart is aflame and the beautiful sing in the homes of a nation that Jesus is King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, the opportunity, Lord, to be here in your house today. Thank you, Lord, for the Christmas season. It's upon us, Lord. Thank you so much for the sacrifice of your Son, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can remember as he came here as just a child, Lord, a baby, born here amongst men, Lord. And already people were seeking to kill him. But, Lord, he lived. He became a man. He became our Savior, Lord. Thank you for him. Thank you especially, Lord, for those of us that know him as Savior. And, Lord, if someone here today needs to know him, I pray that they get right before they leave the building. Our pastor's going to preach today, Lord. Guide him, direct him, be with him, Lord. Make him strong, Lord, for what you have for us through him today. Help him, Lord, as he delivers that message. And be with those that are listening, Lord, that, again, someone might get something right. Be with us all, Lord. Thank you for our nation we live in, Lord, that we can still celebrate this holiday. That's what it's all about. It's the birth of our Savior, Lord. Be with us now as we go into this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see. Page 114. 114.
Certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay, keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, Noel, Noel.
Verse 3 is the last.
And by the light of that same star, three wise men who came from country far to seek for a king was their intent, and to follow the star.
By thank yous and some small gifts, but this is for, I believe her name's Kay. Kay, thank you so much. And Merry Christmas, and thank you. Let's see, I got more to do, but I'm going to do that just a little bit later. Let's see, what's going on here? Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're requesting that you come back for church. We've got service here. Secret Sisters are going to be revealed today. Please put your gift on the back table. Candlelight service, December the 24th at 4 o'clock in the evening. No services on the 25th and or January 1st for that matter. There is an updated membership and visitors list on the back table. And the thought for the week, does the Prince of Peace rule in your heart and life? I hope so. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, again, thank you so much for the beautiful day, Lord, the opportunity to be here to worship you. Lord, our pastor showed up. All these folks have showed up, Lord. We're just waiting for your message, Lord, to hear it, to understand it, and to know it, Lord. Be with the pastor who delivers it. Thank you, Lord, for the time now that we can take to honor you with a gift, Lord. Please, Lord, be with the gift and the givers. We do so as we take up this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you were supposed to get more.
No.
Yeah, I did. Thank you. No, why would you think that? Our church, the people in it, they graciously give gifts to our pastor. I just wanted to come up today. And I want to shake his hand personally.
Well, we can do a volunteer.
I got Tim also. This was in
the
word.
Truly, it's a team effort, and if you don't have a pastor's wife that can work
Thank you, everybody. Let's see. One more hymn here. Page 118. Just the first two verses. 118. And the girls coming up.
The Lord laid on my heart to save that song for another time. And instead, the girls are actually singing today, and I'm just their accompaniment. And they're singing a song called Comfort My People, and it comes out of Isaiah. And it speaks of the Jewish people waiting for their Messiah, but it also speaks of the return of Christ. So I hope you enjoy this song today.
Thank you. Praise God. Good morning, everyone. You know, as I listened to that this morning and listened to that scripture about Israel's iniquity being pardoned in Jesus Christ, you know, when we think about this, we oftentimes don't see the whole world view of what goes on, but God sees everything from the world view. And by the way, young folks, yes, you can go down at this time, and welcome to everyone. I'll get to that. But Jesus came as the Prince of Peace to Israel, to a country that was rent and divided. 2,000 years later, Israel is reorganized in some borders. But folks, the Bible tells us we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And that's not talking about the fact that there is no armaments being fired on Jerusalem or anything like that. It's talking about the peace from the Prince of Peace, Jesus. So we need to be praying for the Israeli people, the Jewish people today, to accept their Messiah and have peace. And that's what God wants us to do. But, you know, this whole thing was about Israel to begin with. That's why Jesus came, first to the Jew, but then also to the non-Jew. And aren't you thankful? We're the grafted-in branch of the olive tree. You know, we should not get high-minded, but like Paul says, we should pray about the stump of the olive tree that is Israel, that they will be saved. So, as we celebrate the birth of the Savior, it's really about Israel first, and about those people coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Anyway, welcome to everyone. We're glad for everyone that's here, glad for visitors. I think I've been able to meet almost all of you and say hello personally, but I'd love to do that at the door as well later. This is a joyous time of the year, right? I know it's a tough time too, but try this year to keep Jesus as the center of all this and to let His love prevail. And I just, Kim and I both pray and trust that you'll just have a wonderful time this year as we celebrate the gathering of families. And Kim and I visited a little bit yesterday. We do get to do that occasionally. But we just said how thankful we are. You know, Satan wants us to think of all the things we don't possess or have or haven't. But we have everything we need and more. And God is so good to us. So rejoice in that again at this time of the year, because that's the best gift ever when He sent Jesus for our sakes. Because literally, apart from Him, we would literally be cooked. Yeah, in hell. And Jesus came to deliver us. And so we pray again that people would be delivered this time of year. Well, I don't want to get off on bannering, because we have a message here that we need to look at out of the scriptures that is very important. And the truth is, folks, the message of the celebration of the birth of the Savior is an unchanging message as far as it's printed, but yet it changes every time we look at it, doesn't it? And we find new things. And we can't remake the story again of the birth of Christ, because it's a dynamic story. It's the best story that was ever told. It's the greatest story that was ever told. We can't improve upon it, but the Holy Spirit can teach us and improve the impact that it has upon us when we hear it again. And so this morning, we're going to do the classic recount of the title message is The Birthing of the Messiah Redeemer. And it's the account that's very much traditional and historical. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 19, that will be our text this morning. And we'll glean from that many of these things that the Holy Spirit, we pray, will apply to all of our hearts today as we consider the dynamics, once again, of what took place there in that manger in Bethlehem all those years ago. It's a message and a relevance that still has everything to do with people today, because it's about people. God loves people. He sent His Son, the God-man, Jesus, for people's sake, to die in our place and take our punishment. Anyway, it's good to see a nice group today. We will take just a few minutes to have a moment of silent prayer as we prepare our hearts to worship, because underpinning all that we do today, we should again acknowledge today that we are here to give God glory and praise, which He so worthily deserves, right? And so in a few moments here of silence, let's just turn our hearts and let Him know that He is worthy, and that we acknowledge that today, and we want to be, again, fed through His Holy Spirit today and to draw closer with Him in a walk. But I do, and Kim and I wish you a Merry Christmas. By the way, come if you can on Tuesday evening. I guarantee it will not be any longer than 40 minutes at the most, and I'm trying for about 35, but it's a great time to invite people. And we'll hear again another angle on the Christmas story, something that is normally not brought forth that the Lord sent me to this year. So with that in mind, again, visitors, we're glad you're here. Let's go to prayer, and I'll finish with a short pastoral prayer, and we'll begin. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as we adjust our hearts now at this time to focus on You centrally, today, Lord, we acknowledge as we are experiencing You and as we have been grown in You and seen Your dynamic presence, Lord, in this world and through Your book here, the Word of God, we want to acknowledge, Lord, and prove to You today from our hearts that we do acknowledge who You are and that You are an awesome and mighty God. You're a God above all others. Lord, You're the great creator, the sustainer, and the redeemer of the universe. Every work that You work, O Father, and through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit, is a dynamic work. It's a work that shows up in individual people. Lord, in every situation, You are present. So we want to worship and acknowledge that today, Lord, from the very bottom of our hearts this day. I pray today, Lord, that You will feed us and lead us and guide us as we look into Your Word. Show us again, Lord, other things that maybe we've missed in the past about this dynamic account of what took place as You sent Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the babe in the manger of Bethlehem to redeem mankind. Lord, we know that when He came, He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And as He was laid in the tomb, He was wrapped in those same bands. But Lord, He rose victoriously from that. And that's the whole message of this, redemption and resurrection. And Lord, new life for those that could not afford life because of our sin. And so we give You thanks and praise for that today. Lord, we thank You for the gathering this morning. I pray for our community around us, Lord. I pray for families too, as families meet to exchange gifts. That's the whole business with this, Lord. It's to, again, show again what You've done as Your, You being the gift that Your Father sent to us here in humanity. And I pray that as we gather around this year, we'll be very much aware of that and that there will be forgiveness and benevolence and love, Lord, that encircles all the families and the get-togethers that we have. And yet, Lord, we know that at this time of the year, there is immense sorrow in many homes as well. Sorrow over loss of loved ones, over days gone by, Lord, or over conflicts that have materialized over the year. And Lord, again, as we mentioned, and I appreciated the song that Autumn and the girls did, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that Israel would bow the knee to You, Lord Jesus, and that they as a nation soon will be brought into personal fellowship with You through Jesus, the Messiah, the One that came all those years ago. We pray that that strife may end, Lord, and that, again, they'll find the true peace that You have designed and prepared for them. Lord, we're thankful to see some folks here that have recovered from injuries and medical procedures. We're thankful that Jose Luna is back in town. I was able to talk with him last night. But there are others, Lord, that are yet not recovered fully from situations in their lives. We ask, Lord, that You would come alongside them in Your grace and mercy. And Lord, again, we pray for our community around us and the perspective of their soul. And we pray, Lord, that souls would be saved, that Fruitland Baptist would be a place where the gospel is presented and the light is reflected from Your glory around us. Help us in those areas, Lord, I pray. And Lord, for even folks today that may be of our normal attenders that for one reason or another could not make it. And again, Lord, I always think of things that could be happening in lives and in the homes, struggles that are there, Lord, wounds. I pray you'd bind up those wounds, Lord, that you'd heal those broken hearts, and that you'd set us on a path to rejoicing. Thank you again, Jesus, for coming for our sakes. And Lord, may you be praised today in the things that take place here, not only from the heart, but in the physical sense as well, here as we gather at Fruitland Baptist Church. Lord, and that includes me. You know I'm not worthy of doing this, but I'm responsible, and all I can do, Lord, is rely on you to see me through it, and that your words are presented effectively today. So help me as the weak link in that chain to deliver this for your glory and honor. And I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends of the Babe of Bethlehem, this morning we will revisit the famous account of the birth of Christ as it's recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. I believe that everything God does is miraculous and dynamic. What do you think about that? I don't think there's any insignificant thing with the God of the Bible. Things that we might even think are insignificant are major things that God uses or puts in our path, once again, to help us to recognize and see Him as He works through it. And folks, there's really some truth to this. We need to let go and let God. We need to be looking for what He is trying to show us in the path of life. Nothing can be categorized as important or less important as it all has a place and a purpose in God's plan. And it all fits together because it was divinely designed, folks. It was divinely designed. Today, I'm personally led to five what I call major dynamic acts of God in His program for the ages that involves humanity. And I'm going to give these to you. These are my opinion. You may not agree. We don't have to have a debate over it. You might see it differently. But when I look at the main things that God has done, the first one is creation. A dynamic act that we still cannot explain as anything less than what? Miraculous. Absolutely. That's the first one, creation. The second big one that I see is the judgment of sin and the flood, where all the souls that existed on this earth other than eight were taken out by waters of flood that totally immersed the earth. And it changed the topography, it changed the environmental impact in the earth. We discussed that this morning earlier. The earth was very likely covered by an ice canopy prior to that flood that God brought upon to judge sin. The fountains of the deep were broken up. The mountains were raised. The Bible records all these things. It was a dynamic effect, again, that was brought upon us by sin. And God did that. So I'm going to say creation, the judgment of sin and the flood. The third thing that I see as a major dynamic act of God is His redemption and resurrection through Messiah. And that involves in part what we're talking about this morning, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Him delivering the Son of God as a babe in the manger of Bethlehem to die for the sins of the world and to rise again to guarantee us new life. The next thing after that I see is the adjudication and judgment of believers and unbelievers' works. I'll tell you what, folks, for the believer, we will be reviewed about our works, not for our salvation, not for our entrance to heaven, but what we do or do not do, Jesus knows. And we are not held unaccountable for that at all. We need to be cognizant of that, but also, folks, when the great white throne judgment becomes apparent and Jesus as the righteous judge is on that throne, when unbelievers go to appeal their case before His throne and He tells them, "Depart, I never knew you," because they want to say, "I did all this and thus and so and I did all these works for you," it doesn't count because only the work of the Lord Jesus Christ counts that's applied to our life. I don't think we can fully imagine what that will be like on either side of that, either as the believer at the judgment seat of Christ or as the unbeliever at the great white throne judgment facing eternity in hell and the great regret that they will have that they did not call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's why we are here today, to proclaim that good news, that gospel that Jesus delivered there in that cattle stall in Bethlehem. And then the last big act, I believe, this is my opinion again, is the recreation of the heavens and the earth for eternity future. He's going to renew this old world, the atmosphere that surrounds it. The heavens and the earth will be renewed, and that will be another dynamic act of God. It's going to be done by fire. You can read about that in the scriptures. And then we will have eternity future, never to be tainted by sin again. The only reminder of sin in eternity future will be seen in the prints of the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, where He hung on Calvary's cross for you and for me. But we will be free of all this stuff that we endure today. But friends, in Jesus Christ, the babe of the manger of Bethlehem, we can be free today. And as He said, if you be free, you will be free indeed in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, praise God. Oh, we could go on and on about that this morning. The miraculous, dynamic virgin birth of the Son of God. Explain that one to me. Another what? The God-man, part of God's act of redemption and resurrection through the Messiah. Nothing can compare and fit together with what came to pass in that birth 2,000 years ago. As I've said many times, the cross and the coming of God in the flesh to humanity is the most dynamic event of all time. Well, today we're going to take a look in Luke chapter 2. And I'd like to begin in verse 1. And so this is the account of the birth of Jesus Christ. I'll try to be efficient with this, but point out some of the things. Many of these things you've heard before, but maybe, again, the Spirit will show us something different today. And it came to pass. I'd like to just stop there for a minute. Last week I spoke on Galatians 4:4, where it says, in the fullness of time, Jesus was delivered to us. And it came to pass, once again, the perfect timing in His story. History. Whenever you see a book that says history on it, think about that. It's His story. It's God's story. It's a record of how He has worked in the relationship with mankind. From the creation, again, till what we just talked about, the recreation of the new heavens and the new earth. In His perfect timing, in those days, it says here, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Well, once again, we understand that there was a reason why things happened at the time they did as we look back into history. What was happening with the great state of Rome in those days is that the preceding head of the Roman government, Julius Caesar, had been assassinated. And so there was a, by the way, many of the principles that we have in our American government came from the Roman government, which are good. But what has happened now in this transition period that's talked about here under a new Caesar called Augustus is that the Roman government had been transitioned now from a legislatively elected government to an empire. And now we have a Roman emperor for the first time, and that is the very man here that's mentioned, Caesar Augustus. And now as this transition has taken place, as Rome controlled much of the world, including the Middle East, including Israel. Remember, there was a nominal puppet governor there called Herod. You can read about that in the account of the birth of Christ as well. He was part Jew, part non-Jew, but he was used as a force of evil. Once again, he tried to have the Lord Jesus Christ killed, the young children, 2 years of age, and approximately in that age group, to stop him from going to the cross. Again, he was an agent of Satan. You've heard all that before. But another thing that happens when people are in powerful places, such as Caesar Augustus here in Rome, he wants to know just how powerful he is and how powerful the Roman Empire really is. And folks, the way that's done in government is you send out a reason to get people together and tell them who is there and what they have. And that's what this was all about as God worked this and wended and wove this all together, that Mary and Joseph had to go and declare who they were, where they were from, and they needed to pay some kind of a poll tax, once again, to ascertain for the Roman Empire now, to know who they had, where they were, and what they were up to. Folks, there's some similarities there between those days and the days that we live in as well. Be sure, though, that you vote for Jesus Christ. Let anyone that inquires know you love him and that you know who he is. And so this was the reason why they were headed in this way. The change from Republican government to empirical government, a big difference. And it really precipitated the fall of the Roman Empire, obviously, when this difference was brought about. Verse 2 says, "And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius," or Quirinius, "was the governor of Syria." And this was a province, again, of the Roman Empire as well, along with Israel. And this is, Caesar Augustus was the first emperor of Israel. You can check that in the history books. And it says here, notice in verse 3 with me, "And all went to be taxed." In other words, this was what? Exclusive, that everyone had to make an appearance in their hometown and register and pay some kind of a poll tax when you went there to let them know, to generate income, but also to let them know where you're at and what you've got. And so they knew everything, because that's how they kept people accountable in those days. And anyway, as it's recorded here in verse 4, Joseph, who again was engaged to a young lady named Mary. Actually, he was betrothed to her. They were not yet consummated in their marriage, but they were obligated to each other in a binding obligation, a covenant. It had not been consummated, and that had been for a reason, again, that was revealed by the angel and through the power of God, that Mary was a chosen vessel, and Joseph was going to be the earthly stepfather of the babe of the manger, the Son of God. He had a role in that too, and we learned a little about that here last Wednesday night, that through both lineages, Jesus is the legitimate heir to the throne of David. Hallelujah. This is big stuff, folks, because it fulfills prophecy. More on that later. Anyway, Joseph went up, it says in verse 4, from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So Joseph was from the town of Bethlehem. By the way, what does Bethlehem mean? Bethlehem means house of bread. Remember what Jesus said? "I am the bread of life." The other thing that the town, a little town of Jerusalem, I compared it this morning. I didn't have the same message at Moscow, but we were talking about another component of the Christmas message. Bethlehem was a town like Moscow, and I think we can even say Fruitland in days gone by. It was rural, it was small, it had no big powerhouse things going on in it, in a sense. Fruitland's more that way today, less that way. Moscow's still somewhat that way. But the big thing about Bethlehem was that it was also a place known for people that raised sheep. Sheep. I can just see an old ewe. If you haven't been around sheep, you need to be. When sheep are threatened, they stomp their front feet. Is the right or left, Autumn? I can't, or either.
Either, but I see the left in my head.
What in the world was Joseph doing down in Nazareth? Well, there's a couple of reasons he was down there. One was Mary. But there's another reason that he was there before Mary. Because I think what happened here, and we can't definitively prove that from Scripture, but Joseph happened to be in Nazareth. He didn't happen to be there. He was there because of what happens a lot when you farm. You need money. The sheep weren't cutting it. Okay? And Joseph had to go take outside work, and there wasn't much of the carpentry or building trade going on in Bethlehem because it was not an affluent area, and he had to go to Nazareth for work, 70 miles from Bethlehem. Again, I can't prove all this, but I think, again, that this is what was going on. But behind it all was what? It was God. and the bringing of his Messiah, his deliverer, to Israel. So anyway, he went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. It was a 70-mile journey. By the way, Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. He could not have been born in Nazareth. He was from Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem, because Micah 5:2, the prophet Micah, 500 years before this happened, said, and we won't go there because of time, the Messiah is going to be born in a town called Bethlehem. And you know what? God's prophecies come true. And we can expect that whatever else he's told us will come true as well, because of what he has already been true to. He is a God of continuity, and it will come to pass just as that was. So verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. They were betrothed. They were married covenantally, but they had not been married consummately. And I won't go into that any further, but there was a reason for that too. God was working behind the scenes, see? He preserved Mary. He preserved Joseph. And if you read the account about Joseph, you'll find out, though, Joseph was ready to put her away, to divorce her, because he thought she had been unfaithful. But there again, God intervened, and the angelic message came to Joseph and said, first thing he said, remember, fear not. I like to insert this, you big dummy. Because God's working in this. Get out of his way. Just follow him. He says, fear not to take her for wife, Joseph, because there was no unsavory things that went on with another man. This is a special, unique thing. It's the delivery of the God-man through this chosen vessel, Mary, the gal that you're married to and that is going to be your wife and that you will have children with one day. And Joseph, you're going to be a part of this dynamic thing. Again, to be involved in the birth of the God-man, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. So, she was great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. By the way, between Nazareth and Jerusalem was, or Nazareth and Bethlehem was 70 miles. And you'll notice in the scriptures it says uphill. Now that's not the way it's looked at on the map, but topography-wise, it was uphill. You ladies know that's a big journey even in a car today, when you're about ready to be delivered. If you're on foot or on donkey back, this is a major event. It's a major event. But the days were accomplished. I don't want to park on this either, but how long was Jesus in gestation? 9 months. And I don't want to go into the mathematics this morning, even though I could, but this is why we need to always be aware that we can base when Jesus was born off of Elizabeth and Zacharias and John the Baptist, Elizabeth being in her sixth month, and the figures of when Zacharias served in the temple and how all this came to be. But Jesus was born in sometime in September, late September, very likely. And that's all provable in many ways, and also that the shepherds weren't out in the cold hills in the middle of December. Jesus was likely conceived by the Holy Spirit sometime around the 25th of December in our days or the early part of January. And so Mary here was ready to be delivered at the right time and at the right place. Yep. And so that is exactly what happened. Verse 7, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Folks, I want to tell you something. This is not what happened. Several things here, I can't look at all of it, are not accurate with the Bible. Because what we find out as we study this is that they had gone to a place there in Bethlehem to stay, which was a combined house and housing for animals. The upper level of the house would be an area where people would live and have their life go on where they ate, slept, and so forth, and the lower portion of that would have been a place where the livestock was at. When we see that word in the scriptures here, it's katatoluma is the Greek word for it, but katatoluma means an inner room, a guest chamber. And you know what happened there was this. Mary and Joseph wanted to be in that guest chamber in the living quarters of this facility where they came to, but it was already occupied. There was no room in the inn, in the katatoluma, the guest room. And so where they ended up was what? In a lower place in the house where the livestock was. But all this symbolized, once again, the birthing of the Messiah. He did not come as a king and royalty, he came as a servant. By the way, the Bible also says here, and we'll look at it in just a moment here, that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Jesus came into this world as the God-man, wrapped in swaddling clothes as a baby. He left, again, this world, wrapped in swaddling clothes again, as the Messiah that died on the cross for our sins and was buried in a tomb. His entire time here, even though he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is the servant king. He came to serve you and I, folks. Ought we not want to serve him? And yet we take grace so recklessly. All this is important stuff, my friends. She brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the katatoluma. There was no room in the inner portion of the house. That was not by accident. It's not because Mary and Joseph didn't make a reservation. It's because God appointed it to be different. What situation in our lives today can be parallel to that? It could be many things. But know this, that if you are walking in faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you have done your best about all things that take place, leave the rest of it in God's hands. He has a plan, and it's a divine, miraculous master plan. Take peace and confidence in that today. The problems that you cannot do something about, He still can. And He will, if it is indeed His will. I probably should look at my notes here. But as I said, Mary was scorned by the public. Joseph was embarrassed, but the angel of the Lord intervened, told him what was going on. Mary was shocked. You ladies would be in that same mode if, in our physical sense, you end up expecting and there has not been a man involved. The whole story fits together, by the way. When you look at the other context of this, Jesus was called that holy thing. He is unique. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, in the King James translation, that's the word, once again, for the God-man, the hypostatic union. He is the unique Son of God, his only begotten Son of God. It all fits together, and that's where we get that. Anyway, yes, there was a lot of scorn, but men and women learned from the example both of Joseph and Mary. They were godly people. And when they obeyed God and did as he said, this all was worked out miraculously. And it was done according to the will and favor of God. So there's the account of the birthing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, supplement to that goes on in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Again, this was not in December because the winters in Israel are nominally cold. The sheep are already home in the fold at that time. This was fall, like what we know. But you know, there's something about these shepherds. I like that word abiding. I have written in here, hunkered down. God didn't go to the people that were probably qualified to do this. He went to the people that were unqualified and qualified them because of the qualities that he saw in these shepherds. They would not let God down. They were out there proving themselves in harsh conditions. They were the ones that would get the job done, folks. You don't have to be fancy. You just have to be willing with the Lord. Remember what we say, He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. I think I've got that right. Every one of us in this room today can be used of God. Don't come and tell me, I don't have an education. Well, guess what, folks? We're all educated idiots to an extent. All you need is the power of God and the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do mighty things through Him. But apart from Him, you can do nothing. These shepherds proved themselves. Notice, they weren't working the 8-hour shift, the day shift. They were out there in the middle of the night. They were abiding. They were hunkered down. By the way, the shepherds are known as the annunciators in my book. A lot of people say that was the angelic annunciation. I think the shepherds were the real annunciators because they're the ones that had the privilege to go out and announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ to people. And it had a dynamic impact. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were freaked out. That's the modern terminology. I don't know if you've ever seen an angel. I haven't, but I believe when we see an angel of God, it's not going to be a little thing. Do you agree with me on that? You know, people make all kinds of reckless statements and so forth. But I'll tell you what, in the Bible, when people saw God or the angel of God or an angel of God, most of the time they were where when that happened? They were on their face because the glory of God, the light of God, that's what that is, will knock our socks off, folks. He will. It shows who He is dynamically again. And He appeared to the shepherds, and He had a message for them, did He not? And the angel said unto them in verse 10, you know what? Most of the time, as I've investigated in Scripture, I can't stand here today and say every time, but most of the time when God calls you to a dynamic act, the first thing He tells you is quit being afraid. Inquisitor's class, didn't we just talk about that this morning? Caleb. Yep, Caleb and Joshua. They did not fear the task that was before them. They trusted God. Fear versus failure. If you failed in your life, if I failed in mine, you can trace it back to a lack of faith. You agree with that? It's fear that overtakes faith, but faith overtakes fear when we trust God. And the angel said unto them, fear not, do not fear, because, or for behold, I bring you what? Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Yes, Jesus came first for the Jew, but He also came for all people. That's how it all worked out. In the ignorance of the Jew, read what Paul wrote in Romans about that. In the ignorance of the Jew, it opened the door to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm sorry that that happened with the Jews, but they had every warning, just like I mentioned. Micah 5:2, 500 years before Jesus came, they knew He was coming. If you read the account of the wise men when they went up and talked with Herod, they all knew about this thing that was predicted, but not one of them was out looking. Remember, I brought that up last Sunday night? Not a one of them. It had to be people that were foreigners from Persia that heard the gospel from Daniel, that believed and came looking for Jesus, followed the star. Folks, sometimes we can be lost in our own country, in our own lives, and in the circumstances that we have. And he says, this is the good news for all people. And what a message this was that they were given. By the way, he came to these shepherds because he knew they were, it's an R word, responsible. You could put several R words in there. They were reliable. They were resilient. That's who God's looking for always. Always. And the joy, again, that He delivered. I hope this is a joyous celebration of the birth of Christ. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior, a Deliverer, which is Christ the Lord. We talked about economics here earlier. I'm sure that, again, the shepherds were not well off economically, right? Joseph would have not been up in Nazareth if they were well off with the sheep. But yet, these people were well off when they received and understood the gift that was given to them of a deliverer. That's what the word Savior means. A deliverer, one who comes in the nick of time to help us get from one situation into the safety of another. You can think of many cases in our lives where you may have been delivered from a situation. But folks, there is no greater deliverance than what came in the Savior that was the babe of the manger of Bethlehem. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, and this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe. By the way, if you find something, it means you need to look first. There's a message there for all of us. If you want to find the Savior, look for Him. By the way, He's looking for you, but you have to look for Him. And He's been presented here this morning. It is that babe of Bethlehem. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now from the account, again, of the wise men, it said you'll find the young child in a house. Jesus was older. Pay close attention to what Scripture says. This was the real deal. This was right after He was born. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, let's say it together, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The message of Messiah, the babe in the manger of Bethlehem. Well, the shepherds said, we're all done worshiping. Let's head for home and have lunch. That's the nominal Christian today, right? We come to a public worship service, or may we do it privately, but let's go take care of our needs at this time. See, this had an impact on the shepherds, because notice what they did as we close this morning of this classic Christmas presentation of the gospel. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let's go watch football. See what they did? Let us now even go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They listened to the angelic message. They knew that they were given because of their responsibility and the way that their character was as being caretakers of the sheep in rough conditions. They were given a mandate to go out and deliver the message of the Savior for all men. And they did, in fact, do that. And they did it with haste, it says here, quickly. And they found what they were looking for. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. By the way, Jesus, John the Baptist said, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The shepherds found the Lamb. And I'm talking the Lamb here with a capital L. They found the Lamb of God. Who more appropriately to deliver the Lamb of God into in that message than the shepherds? It all fits together. And all they that heard it from these gentlemen, I'm sure what they are saying is, we found a lamb. We found the Lamb of God that was prophesied, that this crazy guy John the Baptist has been telling people about. You know, he was the forerunner, and he was going to tell. When he saw Jesus, he said, there he is. See? And this all fit together. It all came together. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. I ask you and I today, do people wonder about Jesus after we've talked to them? That's a good goal for us, like the shepherds, to leave people thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I conclude this morning with verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What was Mary thinking about after the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, all these events that took place? Here's what I think she was thinking. Wow. Have you ever woken up from a dream or from a hard sleep and said, where am I? Seriously. I think Mary had been presented with all these things, and now, just like hopefully it has for us, even though many of us have heard this account time after time after time, they are saying, this all fits. What the angel brought to me, this is all coming together now. Is this reality? Remember, Mary was about how old at this time? Maybe 14 to 16 years old. We might have a few people of that age here this morning. Mary was impacted as well. That's what this account, that's what this experience does. It causes us to what? To think. To think about, is this all true? How does it all fit together? And folks, when we study this and the other associated scriptures with it, it fits like a glove. This is the real deal. And it's Jesus. Now the conclusion. Conclusion and a cough. We went out caroling the other night. I had Kim laughing. I had Kay laughing even the other night. When we found that there was a flu and illness at the Lutheran homes, and a guy said, what are you guys doing here? Sandra, weren't you? Well, she's not up here. I said, well, we're out here trying to celebrate the joy of the season. So when we were leaving, I did add a little bit of a different bar to We Wish You a Merry Christmas. I concluded it, We Wish You a Merry Christmas and a Case of the Flu. That didn't play too well with you folks. But anyway, it was a great time. But here's the point. Have you found the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world? Have you found Him in your personal walk? He was announced again this morning. Believe on Him and receive Him and be delivered, saved. And for those that have been delivered and saved, are you like the shepherds, eager to share and ready to glorify? Hallelujah. If we're not there, though, let's get there, folks, because we have a real reason to be there. Bottom line. Know this, though, today also, folks, Jesus is seeking lost lambs yet today. He's the great shepherd. You know, the account of Jesus as a great shepherd gives the example of one who has 100 sheep, and in the fold there are 99. There's one that's lost. And most of us in our humanity would say, just let that go. We still got 99. That's really good. But that's not how Jesus works. How does Jesus work? He goes after the one that's lost. He's seeking the lost sheep today. If you're here and have never been delivered by Jesus Christ, He wants to save you. He wants to wrap you in His arms. Say, yeah. He wants that for you. He wants that close relationship. He wants to be your shepherd. Jesus is ready to do that very thing and to help us all, whether we've struggled as believers or you're here today apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. To walk personally, He will be there with us. As close as we will let Him. I ask you today, will you let Jesus into your catacaluma, into your inner workings, into your life? Or will He once again be rejected and placed in a feeding trough for animals? He came as a servant king. He wants to be king of your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Merry Christmas. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. 549. The great shepherd is calling yet today. And I'll tell you what, if he is calling you, you will know this morning that he is calling you, because he says his sheep know him and they know his voice. Yeah. If Jesus is calling you today as the great shepherd, and you know that you're a lamb that's lost, run to him today. He's looking for you. His arms are open. Come into his safety. Come into his sheepfold. Be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ today. And for those of us that may be rebellious sheep, allow Jesus to put his loving crook, his shepherd's crook, around your neck today and pull you back where you need to be. And I'm submitting to that myself. Jesus, help me to stay in line and keep it right with you. Just like Mary and Joseph did, they obeyed you. They trusted you. Maybe those things are apparent in your lives today. Maybe as you go into this celebration of the Savior, you say, things maybe are just not quite right. Well, let me tell you, this is the time to fix it. Let's fix it today. Jesus is calling, 549. Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. We're going to sing that refrain, but remember this. The words there are correct. Jesus is tender. He's not harsh with us today. He says, all of you that labor, come unto me and I will give you rest and peace. He today is in that mode where he is gentle with the lost sheep. One day, though, as I mentioned earlier, there will be a time of judgment. And there will be no hope for those sheep because they have turned away the great shepherd and his desire to draw them to himself. Let's sing that refrain. If anyone needs help today, don't be afraid to take it. Jesus here is here to help us. And there are those of us here that will help you as well with compassion and tenderness. And by the way, I'm always up here every Sunday because I need to be. Come and join me. Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Merry Christmas once again from Kim and myself. May it be a great day in the Lord. Lonnie, would you close in prayer, please, for us today?